Well, this is the day we can say Happy Sabbath, so let's do it. Happy Sabbath! Well, a number of you have asked me how my daughter Melanie is doing, and her best friend and chauffeur took her up to San Francisco, and she lived down here in Atascadero. Went up there on Tuesday the 15th and saw this expert for about 2 hours. And that 2 hours is greater than all the other time she spent with all the other doctors since she started on this journey. And he told her that she has been improperly diagnosed and that she has a different disease than what they've been treating her for. So now we're sounding like we're going to start out with this new doctor. And that's a hard thing to do up there at Stanford, to switch doctors. It's just amazing. She's going to have her hands full to do that. Okay. I've entitled this message, Pharaoh's Pride, because we're going to look at a bunch of the problems that Pharaoh had to go through. I start this out, this little message, with a little boy that got a holster and gun set for his 5-year birthday. Had two guns and had the holster and stuff. So he puts this on and he goes down to his friends, and there's 2 8-year-old boys down there that take these guns away from him. And he goes home crying and brokenhearted and all that. But he has a plan. He's put together a plan. He has a brother that's 16 years old. He weighs about 200 pounds. Plays left tackle for the high school football team. And he's going to get his brother to go down there with him a little bit later when he comes home. And he does. Goes up to the first boy, and the little boy gives the little 8-year-old, gives his, one of his guns back. He goes to the next boy, and he gets his gun back from these people just as easy as can be, and it's because he had an older brother. Well, you and I are in the same predicament. We have an older brother, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he hears our prayers and answers them for us and helps us in our time of need. I'm sure we can all cite different prayers that have been answered, and even prayers that we didn't ask for that were created for us. So the first thing we're going to do is start out in chapter 7 of Exodus. Chapter 7 of Exodus, I'm going to read verse 7 because this describes the ages of Moses and Aaron. Moses was 80 years old, verse 7, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh for the first time. Verse 8, the Eternal said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff, throw it down before Pharaoh, it'll become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Eternal commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Well, Pharaoh then summoned the wise men, the sorcerers, and the magicians also, and they did the same thing with their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff and became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their snakes. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and would not listen to them, just as the Eternal said. During creation week, Almighty God created some snakes that are snake hunters. They hunt snakes and kill them and eat them. And one is called a king snake. And it's a very bright colored snake, and it looks like it's poisonous, but it's not. And it's oblivious to the poison of these snakes. Not only that, if we have a 3-foot king snake here's how the whole system works. If a rattlesnake comes along, and this is the rattlesnake here, it smells a king snake over here, it immediately backs up and coils, ready to strike. And if you come across a rattlesnake that's coiled up, get away, because they can lunge quite a ways. So the king snake has to wait. Our king snake is over here, and the rattler is over here. Well, the rattlesnake makes the first strike, which is his mistake, because now he's defenseless for a few moments. And the king snake grabs onto the rattlesnake's head, and he's got a death grip. All fangs are in, and that rattlesnake is not going to get out. And that's probably the kind of snake that the Egyptians ran into. Some kind of a snake like that. And in addition to that, God thinks of everything. And that's who we're dealing with here. There could have been a snake there that was 3 foot 6 inches long, and our king snake is only 3 foot long. So how do you get a 3.5 foot object into a 3 foot compartment? See, God's in charge, and he knows what he's doing. When the rattlesnake dies, the king snake begins to swallow it. And when it finally comes to the end of its stomach, somehow that king snake can turn the head around and push it back the other way. So a 3 foot, 6 inch snake is 42 inches, about so long. And when you cut it in half, it's only 21 inches. So you can easily swallow several snakes like it happened here. Really an interesting comment, and that's why I brought it out. Okay, the first plague is a plague of blood. And we're gonna go to chapter 7 and verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. Moses and Aaron did just as the Eternal had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things in their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart became hard and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Eternal said. Instead, he turned and went to his palace and did not even take this to heart. So it meant nothing to Pharaoh that his Nile River, this massive river, was covered with blood. Well, the second plague becomes a plague of frogs. And we'll start reading this in Exodus 8, verses 5 and 6. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the stream and the canals and the pools, and make frogs come up on the land." Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts and also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Pray to the Eternal to take away these frogs from me and my people, and I'll let your people go." Well, that didn't happen. He changed his mind and didn't let the people go, even though he said so. So anyway, that's two strikes against him. He should have given up right away when the magicians had their snakes eaten. The third plague is a plague of gnats. Those are little things that when you take your cover off your trash can that those little things flying around are gnats, and they're just a pest. Well, anyway, we're going to read in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 8. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground. And throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand and staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came up upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats, and when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. And the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Pharaoh didn't matter. His heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Eternal said. Well, the next plague is the fourth plague, and it's a plague of flies, and it's similar to the plague of the gnats. The fifth plague, however, is a plague of the livestock. I'm going to read chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And it says, chapter 9, 1 through 7, "Then the Eternal said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Eternal, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Eternal will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on your cattle, and the cattle pulled farm implements as well, and the sheep and the goats. But the Eternal will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to Israel will die.' The Eternal set a time, and he said, 'Tomorrow the Eternal will do this in the land.' The next day the Eternal did. The livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh even sent men to investigate and found that, not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding and would not let the people go." The sixth plague is a plague of boils. And last Sabbath, Mr. Segley showed a photo of a man who had boils on his neck, his chest, and his right arm. I've never had a boil in my life, but I've talked to several people that have had them. And they all say one thing about them, maybe only one thing, and that is they are the most painful thing you can ever have. So I need to thank Bill Wassner for that photo and that video and so on. Well, the thing about this is that with the boils, Pharaoh still did not repent. He's bound and determined he's going to get his way. And he's dealing with God, and he doesn't understand that because he's had his way all of his life. Well, the seventh plague is a plague of hail. And we're going to read Exodus 9, verse 17. Exodus 9, beginning in verse 17. "You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I'll send the worst hailstorm that's ever fallen on Egypt, from the day it was founded until now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to places of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Eternal hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock in. But those who ignored the word of the Eternal left their servants and livestock in the field. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on men, animals, and everything growing in the fields of Egypt." When Moses stretched out his hand and his staff toward the sky, the Eternal sent thunder and hail and lightning flash down to the ground. So the Eternal rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the field, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree and every place that did not hail was, the only place that did not hail was the land of Goshen. And who was in the land of Goshen? Our friends, the Israelites. So it didn't hail there. I've been in four hailstorms back in Minnesota, and they were very minor. They started up just like you turn on a faucet, and that's the way they stopped. None of them lasted for over a minute. They stopped and started. And the largest hail that I was ever in was hail that was slightly larger than a golf ball, very small. Most hail was the size of beans or peas, and even though the wind would be blowing and hit you with it, it wasn't anything bad about it. One time we were out, and I was actually on the farm where the buildings were, and Dad had about 100 head of cattle every year. He'd buy feeder cattle and feed them and then send them off to market. Well, the cattle were out this one day when it started to hail, and I got to see how they functioned in the hail. The wind was blowing, and when it hit the cattle all were pushed away with the wind. The hail came and hit their backsides, and they were just not accustomed to any of that. They ran up to a fence line, and I thought they were all going to run over the fence, and I'd have fence work to do for the next 2 weeks. Well, it didn't work that way, because once they hit the fence line, they turned to their left and kept on running. They ran down to where there was another fence line, and they gathered right there. All the cattle gathered there. They had their backs into the wind and the hail, and their heads were all down to the ground so that their eyes were protected from the hail, and their ears as well, because their ears are no thicker than yours and mine, except they got a little hair on them. So that's what they did, and they waited the hailstorm out, and it was done in probably a minute or so, a minute or less. But I actually got to see that one time, about all three times. The next plague is the eighth plague, and it is the plague of the locusts. And this is chapter 10. I don't ever remember a locust plague here in America at all. But locusts are like large grasshoppers. They're a little bit bigger than a grasshopper. And I've seen film clips in the past from the Far East where they have locusts a lot. They have a lot of locusts back there. What farmers do is that if the locust and the wind is blowing this way, this farmer when they first meet the locusts, light fires to his crops, so that the group of locusts that lands here are burned to death. Then the second farmer does the same thing. He will light his crops on fire to kill off the locusts, because there isn't going to be anything left of them, left of his farm anyway. And the same thing happens over here when the third farmer has locust lands in his field, in the hopes that downfield, those farmers will be spared, and at least they'll have some crops and some food and so on for the year. I don't know how they work all that out financially, but that's the only thing they can do to stem the tide of locusts. The ninth plague is the plague of darkness. And we'll start in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21, 22, and 23. Exodus 10 and verse 21. This is the plague of darkness. And it is the ninth plague. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that you can feel." Not sure what that means, but it's going to be extremely dark. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. And what's happening in Israel? All the Israelites had light. Isn't that amazing? All the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Pharaoh summoned Moses. And see, go worship the Eternal. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and your herds. But Moses said, you must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Eternal, our God. Our livestock must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. I like that expression. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Eternal, our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship. But the Eternal hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." Verse 29. Last verse of the chapter, "Just as you say," Moses replied, "I will never appear before you again." Okay, this is the tenth plague, the last plague. This is chapter 11, and we'll read all of it. There's 8 or 9 verses. Now the Eternal had said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and Egypt as well, and that he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Eternal made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, the Israelites. And Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people." So Moses said, "This is what the Eternal says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl, who's at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. I'm very thankful to read that, and it's never going to be that way again. Then you will know that the Eternal makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Eternal had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Eternal hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go from his country. Go to Exodus 12, next chapter, verses 5 through 8. This deals with the animals listings. Chapter 12, verse 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and they may take that, you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire, along with bitter herbs and the bread made without yeast. Verse 12. The same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I'll bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Eternal. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are in, and where I see the blood. I will pass over, two words, pass over, and no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Let's go down to verse 20. One verse. This will add to Mr. Segley's comments today. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. That's part of dealing with Pharaoh. Verses 3 through 9. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the desert in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Eternal. So the Israelites did this. And the king of Egypt was, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind and said to one another, what have we done? What have we done? We have let all Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. 600 chariots, the best chariots that he had, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over them all. The Eternal hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites. The ones that were riding horses, of course, were the cavalry. And they camped near Pi Haridoth, opposite of Baal Zephon. As the Eternal approached, or as Pharaoh approached rather, the Israelites looked up and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Eternal. Verse 13, Moses answered the people and said, "Do not be afraid. Calm down, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Eternal will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Eternal will fight for you, and you need only to stand still." Verse 15, I've always liked this verse. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Eternal when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Moses does his best to calm the Israelites down, but they're nervous. The enemy is right there with their horses and so forth, but the cloud of darkness has separated the two. And let's go to verse 26. Through 28. Verse 26 through 28 of chapter 14. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their horsemen." It's been long enough to where Israel has been able to walk all the way across on dry land through part of the Red Sea there. And so when the Egyptians see the Israelites over on the other side, of course, they're in a hurry to get over there as well. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing from it, and the Eternal swept them into the sea. Water flowed back and covered all the chariots, all the horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that followed the Israelites into the sea. None of them survived. And when we talk about pride, what we're seeing with Pharaoh here is somebody that has tremendous pride, and he can't say that he's made a mistake. And it cost him his life and the fact that he had been Pharaoh. All of that was lost just because of pride being so strong in this man. Why he was that way, I have no idea. But there are hard-hearted people like that, and he was one of them. And the example he left is quite clear for all of us. It's not some place where we want to be. We don't want to take our hearts there. It's not the right place. It's not from God. It's all from Satan. So he was one of these people that Satan had in his death grip, and the poor man paid with it with his life. Brethren, have a great Sabbath.